Okay, fellas, thanks for joining me back on the podcast. We've got CJ, Rob, and we've got Phil. He was just come back off a 20-mile run. He's tucking into some leftovers. He had steak, chicken, mac and cheese. So he might be on mute for a minute, I think.
That's a hell
that
of a
boy combination. hungry.
That's a hell of a combination, man.
He is. And for those who can't see this, like, CJ's turned up for his podcast with a turtleneck. We just don't know who his brother is anymore. Like,
first of all, this is professional, CJ. I am on the job right now. This is my break.
This man got a turtleneck on and some half tights.
Oh my word.
And some Jordans. The whole fit is like crazy.
Definitely. Jokes aside, CJ, like, how are you feeling? Obviously, you've done Tokyo, you've done LA, we've got London and about two in a bit weeks. Like, how's the training going for that?
Yeah, this past week was literally the first full week of training I've done since January. I kind of wrote about it on Instagram, but I was able to do 5 runs this week, a quality session, being mile repeats, and then I did 20 miles with some hills in there too, because I've been strength training much at actually I have not been strength training at all. I'm not gonna lie, I have not been doing any strength training. So I threw in some hills to go along with this 20-mile run, and it felt pretty good. Like running even with the marathons and just trying to get some training runs in, my heart rate been really high, and it's just really trying to get back into consistent training and having the body adapt to that. So that last run was really good. It was a big booster for me, and I'm looking forward to London. I mean, I don't know what that day will hold, but I told Britt, I'm like, I hope I can keep up with you. I don't know. My legs don't know yet, but I might be able to keep up with you for some miles.
I'm sure you'll do fine, twins. Like, it's kind of hard though to like estimate how you're gonna get on, I imagine, because obviously, like you said, you've come back from injury, and I guess it's kind of like seeing where you are on the day, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, because what happened on my 20 miler too, I had cramped up, my hamstring cramped up. And that's like the thing, like later in the race, I don't have my marathon legs to race underneath me right now. So it's just now determining how much of the intensity I'll bring to London Marathon to hopefully avoid cramping up and all that stuff.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in London though. But obviously, before we get to London, we've got Boston.
We do.
Rob, how you getting on?
Me, how I'm doing?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go, man. Finished the last long run this past weekend. So, I mean, I'm in taper mode. I'm just trying to eat all the carbs and chill and relax and just hold steady. I'll probably say this is the best I've ever felt body-wise going into a marathon. So, that should be good. I mean, I'm used to racing everything injured. So, I mean, it's weird being healthy. I'm not used to that.
It's a good place to be, though. Like, tell us about your long run. Like, what did you do? Like, what was the distance and that kind of stuff?
This past weekend, it was just... So, my coach has been having me on a cap of 100 lately. So, I just did 18 because it was the perfect number. Stopped me at 100. It was just a completion run. Nothing crazy. But earlier in the week, we did mile repeats, like CJ said, and those were good ones. And recently, my mom passed away, so it's been a struggle. I mean, I've still been getting my runs in, but the energy level, before, like waking up in the mornings, just get out of bed, it's just been real low because the nights have been real tough on me. And then just waking up, sitting in bed in the morning, I'm like, man, why? But I've been able to knock those out. And then Tuesday came, I had my speed practice, and I was like, coach, I don't know what I got in me today. I don't even want to be here. It's hard to get off the couch, out of my bed at all. And there's some real, real good mile repeats. Definitely for the energy level I had. I mean, it could have easily been sub 5 if I put effort into it. So he was real pleased with it. I was real pleased with it. So I'm still able to punch the clock, you know.
First of all, yeah, sorry to hear about your mums. I know we've spoken about offline, and you know, it can't be easy for you, man. So I think respect to you for like what you're doing as well. It just goes to show like how life can be sometimes. Like you're saying, you feel like in the best physical shape, but then you get these kind of other sort of life challenges like sort of come along, and it's got to be difficult.
It's crazy because this block overall, it might have been my most healthiest, but it's been one of my most challenging as well. I had some personal health issues at the beginning that I told you about, had blood work and things like that done. And then my mom went in and out of the hospital. And then, like I said, she passed away going on 2 weeks now. And I got that funeral this upcoming week. So it's like all right before Boston. I'm just trying to find a good mindset and stick to it and listen to what my mom always told me. And when the day comes, I'm going to fight and I'm going to put it out there.
I know we've spoken about offline as well that your mum's favorite color was purple. So we're going to try and make an effort to like get some purple in the outfits as well, just to celebrate your mum as well.
And I'm going to be rocking. I ain't going to match worth a damn in Boston. I have a purple headband. I'm going to run through the streets of Boston with a purple headband. So I'm excited for that. A little tribute to my mom. Hopefully I can make her proud. It'll be one of the first races that she gets to see. I mean, due to like her disability as far as like moving, she couldn't really ever come to my races. And then over the past 6 to 7 months, she's been in and out of the hospital and things like that with a stroke. So this is her chance to see me from above. So I'm going to try to put on, make her proud.
No, fair play to you. I think regardless of who you run or not, I think she'd be proud anyways, bro. So I can't imagine how tough that is for you. So, and the family as well. So respect to you. We'll see.
Thanks.
Your brother and your dad and your wife and all that kind of stuff. So I know it's not easy.
Yeah, I'm ready to put on, man. I'm ready to do it.
It's one day at a time. Don't put too much pressure on yourself, but at the same time, you know, do it for your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do what's going to make her proud. And, you know, it can definitely be your motivation.
But hey, We don't have to get all dark. Let's get the energy back in here. It's all good, man. I'm going to make it work. We all going to make it work. We good.
Definitely. Obviously, you know, we talked about Boston as well. So, Phil, you've just come back from a 20-mile run. How did it go?
Man, this shit was all over the place.
Oh, of course. Oh, here we go. Oh.
Hey, he was thinking about Mel. That's what it was. During this run, he was thinking about Mel.
Man, I'm not gonna lie to y'all, bro. That shit was all over the place, man. Yeah, I did hit 200, a little over 200 miles for the month of March, though. So that was good. I mean, I think I got maybe 2 or 3 20-milers in. Two of them was pretty good today. It was all over the place, man. Like I was supposed to do it yesterday, but I didn't. So I was like, I'll get out there today and do it, you know, whatnot. And I got out there. I did a 20-mile. I did a 2-mile warm-up. Then I was going to do 7 miles, you know, around marathon pace, mile recovery, 7 more miles, recovery mile, and then 2-mile cool-down, man. That second 7 miles, man, it was ugly. Like, I had a wind blowing, but, I mean, it's just a workout. So I don't really put too much stock in them, even if they good. If they bad, I don't put too much stock in them. I just try to complete them. I had to take a standing 8 count, like, on the last 7. Like, I would do 2 miles, 3 miles, or something like that, and take a standing 8. I didn't have my fuel, man. Like, I just wasn't prepared, man. Like, I've been using these glucose tabs, and when I grabbed my 2 of them today, I only had, like, 1.5 in there. And I'm like,
I know. I'm sorry. They're legit. I've actually, because my mom, she had diabetes. So before she passed, she was having some real bad problems with her blood sugar. And they sent those home with her, like a bunch of them. My dad gave me 2 of them. And I would take like 2 before my speed practices. And my, like, because I always feel like I try to stay away from like the sweets and stuff. So my sugar, sometimes I can tell when it's low. Like, man, right before practice, I can tell sometimes my sugar's low. I pop those in, and then I'll pop them in after a practice, because sometimes after a practice, like, my sugar tanks as well. So I put that in. I'm a brand new person.
Yeah, it keep you level. It don't necessarily, like, shoot you up where you get this rush, like with the Martin or whatever, but it keep you level to where you don't feel like you sliding. So, like, I've used them. Mm-hmm. I used them in my very first marathon. And I used to get them at like the GNC store. And I use them for my very first marathon. And man, that's the best I've ever felt like during a marathon. And then when I got ready to do another marathon, I couldn't find them. They had pulled them off the shelf. Something about the shelf life on them went long. That's what the guy at GNC said, the reason why they stopped carrying them. And I could never find them. And then like after I did Chicago this year, one of my friends, she told me where to order them from. So I ordered me some. And I've been using them like for my long runs and my speed workouts. And I was, you know, I've been feeling pretty good. But today I only had like 1.5. And man, like I started tanking.
That's a big session though, to be honest. Like it's quite a lot of work at marathon pace effort as well. And I'm going on by like probably time zones. It must be quite early when you started though as well.
It wasn't too early. Like I was laying in bed dreading it. I think what it was because I did it first thing in the morning. I didn't eat no breakfast. I ain't no breakfast.
All right, Goggins. Like four in the morning. Like whatever.
Nah. I didn't do four in the morning. I wanted to, but I got it done, bro. I got in the 20 miles, so I mean that's what count. And then it ain't my first rodeo, so I get to the start line. We'll see what's up. But yeah, today was definitely kind of put me back where I'm gonna play it a little safe. You know, it kind of humble you a little bit. I got 2 weeks though, man. I still got time to work.
I like it. Silver lining.
Yeah, I got time to work, man. I'm gonna do this big. Not a big workout, but I'm gonna do like a 10-mile hill workout on probably like it's probably gonna be Thursday. But that workout, that's gonna let me know where I'm at, and then I know I'm gonna build off of that, and then I probably do, I don't know, anywhere from 14 to 16 next weekend. And then after that, it just be kind of charge the batteries up, man. Charge the batteries up, get on the flight, go to Boston, try not to do too much, and then just get race day, man. And just, I'm going to be like Thanos, bring me Meb. I'm going to have Stormbreaker with me, man. I'm going to be like, bring me Meb.
Man, pull it up like he Thor to Wakanda.
Have you been seeing Meb's Strava lately, though?
Man, I got people keeping their eye on Meb for me, man. he's been kind of just, man, but the thing about it, dude is elite. So even with 40 miles a week, he's been averaging around 45 a week. You know, he threw a couple 20 miles in there. But if he get competitive, man, he can throw down 245, 240 easy.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, like last week he did a 54-mile week. I'm just trying to see like what his long runs looks like. He's not run for the last 2 days though, in fairness though. So yeah, you know, last run on the March the 30th. But you never know, sometimes people hide their Strava runs. So I don't know if he's doing that, maybe pretending, just trying to like.
I don't think he's trying to be competitive with this race just yet. Not until we officially challenge him, man. Okay. I thought about sneaking him. I thought about just trying to sneak him, and then if I can win, I'd be like, aha. But nah, I think at the Unicorn event, man, I think we're gonna get him on. Like we do a live podcast before the event. He'll be there, so we'll bring him on and we'll let him know what's up.
Be like, no, you gonna let him know what's up? You challenging me?
Hey, CJ, man, we supposed to be in this together, bro. We supposed to be in this together.
All right, my bad, man. FaceTime in.
Yeah, we supposed to be in this together, man.
What do you think he's gonna say when y'all bring up this challenge?
He gonna try to play it cool, but in the back of his mind, he gonna be like, I'm gonna crush these dudes. I'm gonna teach him not to ever mess with me like that.
Hey, he gonna be like Scar off Lion King.
He gonna be like, I'm the champ. Say it with me. I'm the champ.
is this gonna go all dark on us and just like leave? And like, where's Meb? No one's seen him. And then turn up race day just like ready to go.
Man, y'all know dude competitive, man. He'll run, so I know he competitive. So I think he probably gonna try to do a little bit of homework to see, and then he's gonna be like, I ain't messed up about this dude.
Scout the Strava.
He might. Cause man, I'm telling y'all, when he ran in New York, man, he was running for the Team for Kids, and he started out back with them, and he probably was just running it. But towards the end, man, he started picking it up. And when he came past me, I'm thought, well, maybe I can run with the great Meb for a little while. And dude just kept going. I'm like, damn, I'm going to pay you back one day.
All right, so that's a great like segue to like Team Meb. Do you want to talk a little bit about what that's about in Boston?
Okay, other than getting my lick back, everybody knows it's kind of like his 10th anniversary from when he won it the very next year after the bombing, actually. And I went back and watched the race, you know, because I wasn't really running at the time, and I know he had won it, but I never just kind of watched the race. And watching the race, man.
So you watching film?
Yeah, I went to YouTube. You know, you can see anything on YouTube. So I went to YouTube and watched the whole race. And even during the race, man, like the announcers really wasn't giving him a chance of winning. You know, it was all Ryan Hill. Some of the, I think Lanisa DeCecil had came back that year because he had won it the year before he was back. You know, they brought up Mel because he's American or whatever, and they were giving his pedigree. And I'm thinking, listening to the commentators and the pedigree, I'm like, well, why wouldn't they think he was one of the favorites to win it? But he actually ran a real good race. He started fading a little bit towards the end. Maybe he was, you know, saving a couple miles, and then he, because the second place guy was gaining on him, like around mile 23 and 24. And then once he passed 24, he kind of just put it all together, held him off. Everybody went crazy or whatever. So the Black Unicorns are celebrating his 10th anniversary on his win. But for me, it's more like celebrating Melb is like of his being a run ambassador for the sport, man. Because I know like every time I've been to Boston and been to the Black Unicorn events, he's there, you know. And this is just his volunteering this time. And on a Boston Marathon weekend, he could probably get paid for his time at any event. Like, it ain't nobody that wouldn't have Meb at their event and probably would pay him to be at the event. But yet, every year he donated his time. But then, like, the last 2 years, he's been even coming out doing the BMR shakeout run that Sunday morning with people. And he always have a message after the run, you know. He always have a message at the event. And it's never like some little kind of the same message every time. And it's always a message that you can take something from and you can learn something from. So for me, just to see what he's giving back to the run community, that's what got me excited and pretty much honored to be able to be on that team and represent him. Even though I'm going to try to beat him, man. I'm going to try to beat him.
All right, so yeah, we're going to tell him about the challenge when we see him, and let's just hopefully he doesn't go too beast mode on us. We'll see how it plays out on Monday.
Yeah, I would feel bad if we snuck him in one. I would feel bad, but I don't want to take no victory like that.
Fair enough. And I think it's really cool though, like what we're doing, because obviously there's a team of four of us. There's myself, you, Ruben, and Isaac.
Yeah, Luther Isaac. Ruben in the pro field, man. Don't even think about him.
We gotta see him.
Yeah. I talked to him after the event, you know what I'm saying, last year, and he was just getting back into it. And it was what race was that he was running? I think it was a race in New York or some. It was a half marathon, but he was telling me about his half marathon and the time he was trying to run. I'm like, yeah, dude, nah, I'm not running over near that fast, bro. Go ahead. Yeah, so he the real deal.
So what's he aiming for in this year's Boston? Do you know?
Nah, I know he around like a 104, 103 half marathon. So
sheesh.
Yeah, so he probably trying to get around, you know, under 220.
Man, that hurts to think about.
Yeah. See, I don't know. He ran Boston before. I don't know what kind of shape he in. I don't know how much he like or dislike heels, so I mean, that could be a good thing or a bad thing for a runner.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we can see if we can get everyone on in the pod actually afterwards, get everyone's thoughts afterwards. I think that'd be quite cool just to get the reflections and different sides.
Yeah, we could get him on before the event too. He'll be at the Black Unicorn event.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, that'd be good. That'd be a good one to get his insights as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're telling me those speeds, it does make me feel like, yeah, fair play to him. But I'm looking forward to it though. I think I didn't tell you guys about my run, so I did just over 24 miles on the weekend, and actually So you sort of get to the point of thinking, oh, I want to go further. But you don't. You just like listen to like what the coach is saying. But I had other bits on as well. Like I ended up going to, there was like a British boxing event, Wardley versus Clark for the British title. So I ended up running, getting back, eating, and then meeting a friend to go and watch that fight. And there's, if you're watching back on like YouTube, it's brutal, man. Like, yeah, I mean, they must be in a world of hurt. Like both.
What weight class? What weight class is it?
Heavyweight.
Heavyweight. Oh, okay.
And it ended up as a draw. And like, if you see, you know, like Wardley's face today, I mean, he broke his nose. His face is all marked up and everything. So, you know, those guys went out on their feet. And then it's weird, like, looking back at that, because I was talking to my friend about it, and you like, you think 12 rounds of that. Then you think, like, go back years ago to like Muhammad Ali, 15 rounds, and they're fighting like 18, five times per year. He like, how are you guys? They were built different. It just goes to show, like, you watch it like live, you see actually how much goes into it. So it's wild to see.
Man, y'all got a middleweight guy over there right now, a light-skinned guy. He was an Olympic medalist. I cannot think of his name, but he like showboat a lot when he in the ring. He kind of do the little, he do a lot of showboating, but he good. He got some skill. He may have got like 12 fights on his belt, if that, professional fights.
Yeah, it's Whitaker. That's it. Yeah, it's Whitaker. Yeah, he was there yesterday. He fought on the undercard.
Did he?
And I will say that, like, he fought, but I think he won, but it was, the issue that he's got now is that the guy he fought, when you get started fighting better quality of, like, opponents, like, you can't really showboat as much. And you just need to have something else like in your locker to win. And he started doing that in the first round and second round and looking all flashy, but then the guy kind of worked him out and he wasn't really able to like put a dent in him. So it was just like very much like kind of a boring end of the fight, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I ain't watched like his whole fight. I was seeing clips of him in the ring, and I know that his pedigree was, he's an Olympic boxer. It looked like he got some skill level, but he's going to have to definitely stop all the show button, because I want to say the fight I watched, the referee ended up taking a point from him or something.
No, it was a good fight, but yeah, the heavyweight one was a lot better. Anyhow, I digress. Talk about boxing. Obviously, one thing we've got to talk about as well is we've got the expo coming up Saturday the 13th, 9:15. So looking forward to having you guys there. Obviously, shame that obviously I know we can't have CJ there.
FaceTime me in. Yeah. FaceTime me in so I get the view. I will be up. I'll be waking up and making sure I'm tuned in. So FaceTime in.
Yeah, we're going to get you in there some kind of way. CJ the glue, man. CJ the glue would make it everything work, man.
You know what would have been so wild, though? Like, making it out for that, like, thinking logistically, because I would have had to fly across the country to come to Boston, then fly from Boston right back to Cali, and then come from Cali all the way to the UK for London. 2 days later.
Yeah, that'd been some fly miles. That'd been some Taylor Swift miles right there.
Should have had Taylor come pick me up in the jet. Hey, Taylor, yeah, I need that jet.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to it, though. So we're going to talk a little bit about, obviously, our final build-up. It's going to be the last Boston for you, Phil, running it for a while. I think it's the same for you, Rob, as well. So I think we're going to be sharing some like key tips. I think everyone really wants those kind of final bits.
It's going to be the last one for me forever, bro. For good. don't be trying to sneak that in there on me, man. This is it, bro.
Fair enough. No, yeah, fair enough. So yeah, I think you've got definitely got a lot of wisdom that you're going to share. And I think people will definitely appreciate that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Now that I got that last run out the way, man, I can actually start looking forward to it, you know. I thought about it a little bit on the end of my run, like, you know, this is the last Boston. And the fact that I get to be at the expo and do a podcast live at the expo, the fact that I get a chance to represent Mel on the Mel team, and I just think back to my first one and just like happy to be there. And now I actually get to be there and be a real part of, you know, some extra stuff for Boston. So it's going to be pretty cool, man, for it to be my last one. Couldn't ask for a better way to go out.
Definitely. And hopefully we'll have a great race. I think that'll be the main thing, to be honest.
Yeah, it's going to take something special, bro. It's going to take something special, man. It's going to, you know, It'll happen though. Every race is like that. It's always gonna be a turning point, a breaking point, where either you gonna let go of the rope or you gonna hold on and make something happen.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, I know you've been testing out those New Balance race shoes. How are you finding them?
Man, I really ain't got a chance to really do no work in them, man. I don't know. They feel like they're a little heavy though.
Okay.
I got to put in, I think I did maybe like 4 miles in them. But the day I did the 4 miles, it was like after a 20-mile run. So maybe my legs were just heavy. So did you get a chance to run in them?
I haven't run in them yet. I haven't got them yet.
You haven't got them yet?
Yeah, I'm hoping to, I've not got them yet. Hopefully getting this week. So I'll be trying them out. But so it's quite late in the day.
They sent mine next day early, man. I thought maybe you would have had them by now.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, because obviously with you guys being in the States, it kind of came a bit quicker, so they've had to sort of do some stuff to try and get them in the UK.
I got an email about him, dude. Like, he hoped I could wear them for Boston.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I'm supposed to get some more shoes delivered today that I paid for, the Asics.
Okay. I'm trying to be like Phil, man, and Marcus get shoes sent to me.
Man, don't start that, bro.
Okay. You just got that big drop of like all those clothes the other day.
Yeah, he got a whole wardrobe and stuff. Now you're talking about wardrobe.
Hey, yeah, shout out to the Pioneers Run Club, the Performance Street Apparel. My guy, Sid hooked me up. I got a bunch of gear in the mail recently. That's much love. I definitely need that. Save my pennies. The quality is worth it. Every penny is worth it. If I didn't get it for free, I would definitely be willing to pay for it. Like I said, I love the gear. I can definitely see me racing in it. I can say that.
Fair play to Sid and what the work he's doing as well. I did see some of the stuff they were doing for the Speed Project as well. They had a team out there as well, didn't they?
Yeah. They're doing some big things. And they're putting on for the culture as well. It's really cool. I'm trying to get him to come out to see us in Boston. I know they got their own thing going on, though, with the 26-point true and whatnot. But, man, they got a hell of a run club and a hell of a clothing line. So he's doing big things, man.
Yeah, I met dude in Chicago this past year in Chicago on the subway train. I think I was either coming from the expo or going to the expo. Anyway, I met him on, I guess because I was black, he spoke with me. And I forget he told me his name, and when he told me his name, it clicked, and I was like, okay, you the guy from Pioneer, and he was like, yeah, how do you know? And he was like, dang, that's crazy that somebody in Arkansas know about my clothing line. He was like, small world. So, yeah, he seemed like a cool dude or whatnot.
Yeah,
they're
cool. He'd normally be cheering out there at mile 21 right after Heartbreak.
Yeah. So I'll definitely be on the lookout for them. And they also got a pop-up shop. They'll have one during the Boston Marathon weekend. So I'm
probably going to
stop by there. They got an after party. I was going to tell you guys about it, see if we want to roll through as a crew. With this being my last one for a while.
You said it right, might be.
Yeah. I'm not going to say I'm done with it. But for a while, I'm trying to get all the partying in after the race, because I really don't even really party after that. I go to one place, give me some pizza and beer, and then I go back to the hotel. We order cookies and some ice cream, and I'll just be smashing cookies and ice cream in the hotel room. So I'm gonna try to rock out.
You trying to do your CJ? You gonna try to do your CJ?
Well, I don't know if I'll make it to the airplane if I do my CJ. I'll be hurting.
Hey, speaking of Boston weekend, man, when you said that, I thought about some of the Jordans I'm planning on bringing, man. And I really think maybe I should bring the Gratitudes and kind of have them on like the day after Boston for like that Tuesday.
Man, where are you going on that Tuesday, though? I'm just going from the hotel to the airport.
Man, there's a lot of stuff going on Tuesday, man. Tuesday the day, you're really supposed to hang out a little while in Boston. Go back down to the finish line, you know, go to some of the different stuff, man. Like,
metal engraving.
You never know. Yeah, metal engraving, which I'll probably get mine done right after the race. But, you know, just little T-shirts, just you know, see a few people. I remember my first year at Boston, I went back down there because I think I was going to get my jacket embroidered or the metal engraved or something. But I was back down there by the finish line. They brought Yuki out to take pictures down there by the finish line. I was able to Yuki get a picture beast. With I was able to get a picture with Yuki that day. So I always try to hang out that Tuesday after the race, man. You get to see a couple of your people that you probably don't get to run into that weekend. Like yeah. Normally I run into a couple of my friends or somebody that I hadn't saw all weekend, and then I run into them that day after the race or whatever.
And just for context for people who are listening, Yuki is the 2018 men's winner.
Yeah.
So yeah, an absolute legend of the game. So yeah.
He should have got two medals for winning that race, man.
That was definitely something, wasn't it, to be honest.
And the commentators, they hated on bro the whole race, man. They hated on him like they hated on Melv the year he won it.
We need new commentators.
Yeah, man, them dudes, they be hating sometimes. That'd be tripping me out when they'd be like, yeah, he's not going to make it. I'm like, bro, chill out. It's early. You don't know what this guy going to do today.
Yeah, and once you're a Boston winner forever. So, yeah.
Yep.
Now, I'm looking forward to it, though. And obviously, you know, talking about the Jordans, still trying to decide which ones to go for. But, yeah, we'll see.
How many pairs y'all bringing?
Man, I'm going to try to stick to four, and that might be five because I might have a pair on.
That's a lot, man.
I know.
You got five in your bag and not creased.
Listen,
like, how are you working this out?
Listen, I already gonna look into all this. Like, when I get off this podcast today, I got some stuff I got to order. They got them shoe bags. So they got the shoe bags that can hold like four pair of shoes and a few outfits. So I'm going to use that as like my carry-on bag. And then I have my carry-on, my backpack, because I don't ever put my Jordans in my check bag, man. No. Oh,
man, I'll be so hurt.
Yeah, my feelings would be hurt if I get somewhere and my Jordans ain't in my luggage, man. Like,
hey, if I get to Boston and my Jordans ain't there, bro, I'm going.
Yeah, so you got
like, that's like leaving your carbons in the bag and they lose your race gear. Like, nah, bro, I'm not going to race. I promise you.
I'd rather them you lose my race shoes because I could get another pair of the race shoes when I get to Boston. You're not going to get certain Jordans when you get to Boston, bro.
Yeah, that'll be tragic. That'll be a bad day.
So I'm going to order this shoe bag, man. It'll hold like, they got some to hold five, but I don't want one that big. But I'm going to get one to hold like four. And if you don't want to bring four, you can use them other compartments to carry, like, you know, t-shirts. You know, you can fold up clothes and put them in them compartments. It's pretty cool, man. I'll send y'all the little thing.
How can you get four pairs, though, in a carry-on bag plus your race stuff?
I'll send you the link. Keep and you can check it out.
I got the big backpacks, man, so.
I can't figure out what I'm saying. Yeah, let's share it with me because I'm curious because, like you're saying, like, you don't want to put it in your bag and, God forbid, something happens, you don't get your bag or it's delayed or something like that.
Yeah.
Or you open the bag and, like, someone's been dropkicking your bag or something.
Sometimes they go through it. I may go through them and decide they want to take them J's out of there.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'd be sick.
Don't say that.
I wouldn't even want to run the race, man. I wouldn't even want to run the race, man. I'd be like a little kid throwing a tantrum, man. I'd be mad.
You just hear Lester's voice in the background of the concourse. What the f***? That's my mother. I'm going to kick your mother.
Jumping up on town. I'd be jumping up and down on the baggage carousel, throwing people bags. I'd be acting a fool, man. I'd be in jail. They'd be like, y'all be at the podcast Saturday morning, like, where Phil at? Oh, he's locked up. He's in jail.
He going through some things.
Yeah. So definitely going to have to get the bag, bro. Yeah. Definitely have to get the bag.
Cause especially with the 12s, though, they're quite a big shoe, though. So, like, just trying to think, even, yeah, just.
I'm trying to think what I'm going to try.
12s, he'll be hurt. That's all he wears.
I'm going to have the 12s on Saturday, man, for the podcast. I'm going to have the 12s on Saturday. I had the 12s on Saturday. I'll probably travel in some wine.
Fair. I think that's a good shout, to be honest. All right, guys. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Looking forward to catching up with you in Boston and obviously in London. Any final words before we sort of wrap up?
Man, Let the taper craze begin. I'm all taper craze and carbs. I'm all about it.
Hold up, man. Didn't nobody put a time on nothing yet. We got four people that's going to be running marathons within the next 21 days. Ain't nobody put a time on nothing?
There's no time. We just got to beat Meb. That's basically it. Beat
Meb. It's a race.
It's a race.
I'm going to beat Meb, man.
All right, man. I'm going to try to figure out what corral Meb starting in, man. Because that's not going to be good if he start in a corral behind us. He's going to have the advantage on us then.
I'm time-wise, if it's for a course PR, I need below 242. So anything 242 below. PR-wise, oh, man, depends on the day. And if I wasn't on a difficult course, I'd shoot even higher. But, I mean, I'm hoping for 236, 237 range. But we'll see. We'll see what the day
holds. What's the game plan, though? Because Boston is like a game plan course. Like, it's technical, man. Like,
The game plan is don't cook the first 5 miles like I did. I didn't do it last year, and it was fine. Be about 10 seconds off marathon pace, maybe, for the first 5 miles. Or be on marathon pace, nothing faster than that. And then after that, we'll see where what the day holds.
You, Marcus, what about you?
I don't know, man. I think the first half of the race is like up into like 13, actually even before the Newton Hills. But for me, that's the first half of the race. Like, you really got to be sensible in that bit. Like, I know you've got the downhill bits in the start, but like the race doesn't really start until you start the Newton Hills and then you get off Heartbreak. Then for me, it's like three bits. And then it's like the final, just under 10K. Do you know what I mean? When you come off 21, 22 is a bit whatever. But then it's just like the last few miles. Because if you've overcooked it, especially in the Newton Hills, and the last 10K is pretty hard.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to get too carried away with yourself at the start. So I think for me, it's the three parts. I really want to be conservative. Or well, conservative as you can be in the first 13. I want to run a good effort, like on, off, for like mile, like, the Newton Hills, like you kind of see it as like, you know, like a marathon pace on, slightly off, especially up the hills, because you're going to be slightly slow anyways. And then I want to get to like, you know, the final 10K just after, just under like 10K, just feeling good. Because the worst feeling is like you get to the top of like Heartbreak and you feel like you just overcooked it. For then from there, you're just literally just trying to pick up and just go basically with everything you've got left.
Well, that's my last one. I'm going down in flames, goddammit. I'm going down in flames. Damn all that, man. I'm going down in flames. I'm racing Mev. Now, I think, just thinking back on last year, I think maybe like the first four, I'll probably go out faster than marathon pace. Just because the downhill is going to make me – I run fast downhill without putting out effort. So the effort is going to be low, but the pace is going to be hot. And probably the first 4 miles, I'll be fast in the marathon pace. Probably after you get to mile six, so like seven through, I don't know, like 10 or 11, it's pretty flat. And I say flat because you really don't go up, you really don't go down. It kind of even out to be even keel. You know, you're going up and down, but that'll be the part of the race where you can kind of settle into a pace, and then I probably settle in a little bit behind marathon pace there. Once I pass the halfway mark, I'll kind of take a couple miles off to get my breath, and then when you hit that big downhill, that's going to be a fast mile, and then, you know, you come up, and then you'll be getting ready to take that right turn into the Newton Hills, and then that's when you really got to kind of watch how much effort you put out taking on the hill. But whatever you put out, I mean, whatever you lose on the upside, you'll get it back on the other end of the hill once you topple it. So for me, I'll probably take Heartbreak off again. Like, I'm not going to push it too hard. I'm going to push it most of the way up it, but then I'm probably going to dial it back and just be ready to kind of regroup after the top of it. And then from there, you got, 5 miles to the finish? And that's just going to be on all guts.
I I don't know. I think like people feel like, I mean, it can go quite quick. Like they think they're going to like go after like heartbreak. And sometimes it works for you. Sometimes it's just like slow.
Last year was the first time I actually felt good after heartbreak. Like I felt like, and I say this, but I didn't like drop the pace like 30, but I was able to stay on the sub-3 pace pretty easily. So like after heartbreak, like my pace didn't just like dive down. Like I stayed way below the 7. So yeah, like my race was pretty much even split. Like I may have been a plus minute or so. Which for Boston, that's good. I may have been like, my second half of the race probably was like a minute and a half slower than the first half. So it was a pretty even split considering the terrain or whatever.
Yeah, you was out of there. I was like, yeah, I ain't catching after I came from that porta potty.
Yeah, I felt like I was like, my leg was burning going up that hill with you, CJ, and I was like, damn. But you did help me, though, because when I saw you, I'm like, damn, there he is. And I told him I was going to try to catch up with him. So I was like, all right, just put your head down and work your way up to him. And we did that, and then I started feeling good because I had somebody to run with. Then CJ like, hey, man, I got to go to the porta potty. I'm like, damn, now I'm going to have to fight it out by myself, man. I'm like, damn, man, bro, gonna just leave me like that?
Hey, well, you gotta go, man. I wasn't gonna make it up Heartbreak Hill without hitting that porta potty. It would have been a bad day.
I'm like, damn. You know, it's always good to have somebody there suffering with you. You know what I'm saying? Pushing you, but yeah, I did. That did help me get up the hill. So CJ did help me get up the hill without having to really just go in the tank and burn my own energy. It's good to kind of run with somebody else to kind of, you know, take your mind off what you're doing. So once I was able to get on the other side, man, I felt pretty good. And so I'm hoping that's what happened this year. If not, it's going to be rough. It's going to be a dog fight.
And then you see Meb.
If I see Mev, it's going to be a dog fight, like, for real. Like, something's going to happen. Yeah, something's going to happen. I'm not going to back down.
It's going to be a good run. Whatever happens, though, it's going to be a good run. I'm sure we'll have some good stories to tell afterwards and mid-race as well. So, no, I'm looking forward to it, guys. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, until the next time, take it easy.
Appreciate y'all.